Kidney School, www.kidneyschool.org. Module 3, Working with Your Healthcare Team. Hello, I'm Brian O'Moore, a member of the Life Options Rehabilitation Advisory Council. I've had kidney disease for over 20 years. Life Options developed the Kidney School to help you self-manage your kidney disease so you can feel your best and do the things that you enjoy. On behalf of Life Options, I hope you find this information helpful and you use it to improve your life. I'm having a good life with kidney disease, and you can too. You have most likely been on a team at some time in your life. Playground games, sports, school clubs, and company work groups are just a few of the many teams you might know. And all of these teams have one thing in common. They start out with a shared goal. It's easy to see how members of a sports team or a work group share a goal. But what does this have to do with chronic kidney disease, or CKD? Well, kidney disease is complex. You need a team of committed experts to help you manage it. The common goal for your team is to help you live well with kidney disease. Depending on what kind of treatment you choose for your kidney failure, key players on your team might include you, your family and support people, your primary care doctor, your nephrologist, a nurse or a home training nurse, the dietitian, a social worker, and a dialysis technician. Did you notice that the first person on the team is you? Whether you know it or not, you are the leader of your healthcare team. All of the other people on your team come together at various times and places to help you manage your kidney disease. But you are the one who is always there. And you are the one who knows you best. Your healthcare team looks to you to see how CKD and its treatment make you feel, and for follow-through on what they suggest. Some teams achieve great things, and others lack focus. You need to do your part so your healthcare team can help you to do better. They depend on you as much as you depend on them. In this module, we'll take a closer look at each of the key people who make up your healthcare team. Each one has a unique role. Why should you care about who is on your healthcare team? Because when you know what each team member does and what each one needs from you, you'll be better able to make sure that you get the quality of care you need to feel your best. Let's get started. And since you are the team leader, let's begin with you. The idea of being the leader of your healthcare team may be new to you. If so, you're not alone. Many people take a passive role with medical professionals. They don't see themselves as having anything to offer, or don't think their healthcare team wants to hear from them. After all, the doctors and nurses are the experts, right? It's common to think that healthcare professionals know a lot more about your disease and treatment than you do. But while they are experts in their field, they are not experts on what happens inside you. They can't read your mind to learn what questions you have, or what suggestions you might like to make about your treatment. They also don't know how you feel physically or emotionally, unless you tell them. You might also feel unsure about how to talk with your care team members. They are the ones with the technical knowledge, and it may seem as if you don't even speak the same language. It may surprise you to learn that most healthcare workers want patients to be honest. If you tell them how you're feeling, they will be better able to help you. If you ask questions already, that's great. Asking questions is one of the best ways to learn what healthcare professionals are thinking and planning for your treatment. What do patients say about being on their healthcare team? Kelly, who's a hemodialysis patient, says, "I'm part of the team. I can tell them if something's wrong with me and how I'm feeling, and then ask a question. Is that normal?" And they can say, "Well, I don't know," or, "Yeah, it is kind of normal." And so then you're not thinking of yourself as, "Well, I'm feeling crazy." Harold, who's also a hemodialysis patient, says, "I think before the treatments can be effective, you've got to kind of do your part. Like liquids, taking in too many liquids, that's something that's done very innocently. I didn't know that I would want a glass of lemonade as bad as I do, but now I'm very conscious of the fact that, you know, I take a half a glass, not the full glass." Your team. Family and friends. The team members who probably mean the most to your loved ones. Think of at least one person or more that you find is a good source of support for you in your journey with kidney disease. Who are your team members? Loved ones can act as more than support members of the team. They can also help you make decisions about your treatment. Even though you are the best expert on you, sometimes you need an objective opinion from someone who knows you well. Let's look at an example. Jack, who's 56, has had kidney disease for 14 years. Now his kidney function has dropped, and he has been trying to decide which type of dialysis will work best for him. His doctor has told him about all of the options. Jack likes the idea of having 4 days off from dialysis a week with in-center hemodialysis, or HD. But he worries how he will keep his full-time job when he has to be at a dialysis center 3 times a week. The center can't promise him a shift that will allow him to work. So Jack is thinking about peritoneal dialysis, or PD, but he wonders if he can discipline himself to do the exchanges each night with a cycler machine. He asks his wife and sister what he should do, and they agree that he needs to choose a treatment that allows him to keep his job, which he loves. They also suggest that he ask his doctor about getting listed for a transplant before he starts dialysis, and they offer to be tested as possible donors. Since it looks as if Jack will need dialysis soon, he asks the home dialysis training nurse if he can talk with someone who has been doing PD for a while, so he can learn how PD can fit into his life and work. The home training nurse has patients who like to talk with other new patients. After talking with a couple of patients, Jack decides that using a cycler and doing PD at night while he sleeps would best fit his lifestyle and his job. Jack has learned about many new options. He may be able to get a living donor transplant, or he can get on the list for a deceased donor kidney. He can do automatic PD or APD with a cycler, or switch to PD by hand. If PD no longer fits his life, he can do home HD with his wife and sister as helpers. Home HD can be done for just a couple of hours each day, so Jack won't have ups and downs in how he feels, or at night while he sleeps, so his days are free. Either way, he'll have fewer diet and fluid limits, need fewer drugs, and have more energy. Or he could try to do in-center HD and ask for a shift time that fits with his work hours. Jack decides to start PD and makes an appointment to get a catheter. Jack made his own choice. His doctor, wife, and his sister, the home dialysis training nurse, and other patients helped him to see his options more clearly. He feels more in control and more hopeful about his future with kidney disease. Another important way family and close friends can be helpful team members is by acting as an extra set of eyes, ears, and mouths. Whenever you can, bring a support person with you to your doctor's visit or dialysis treatment, etc. Your support person might see things you didn't see or ask questions that you hadn't thought of. Plus, having another person along can be comforting. Remember, though, that it's not your loved one's job to make decisions that you can make for yourself. They can support you, give their opinions, and help with problem solving, but you need to make the decisions and follow through with them. And don't forget to tell them how important their support is to you. When you start to expect family and friends to do for you what is really yours to do, they might resent your lack of responsibility. This, in turn, might cause your close relationships to be less supportive than they could be. Don't take these vital team members for granted. Primary care doctor. The care team member you may know the best is your primary care doctor. This doctor may be a general practitioner, an internist, or a family practice doctor. He or she may care for your usual health concerns like regular checkups and blood tests. Your primary care doctor may also care for your health problems like diabetes, arthritis, high blood pressure, heart problems, and other ailments, including kidney disease. Depending on your health, you may even have a few doctors. If you do, you'll want to be sure that they're all working together as members of your team. How? Ask your doctors if they speak or write to each other about your case. Make sure that you know what each doctor says so that you can fill in gaps for them about your care. Nephrologist. People who are on dialysis have even more members on their healthcare teams. Under Medicare rules, each dialysis center must provide a nephrologist, registered nurse, registered dietitian, and social worker with a master's degree. Other professionals may be called upon to help as needed. Medicare pays for most of the treatment, which is why it can require certain team members and training. Let's find out what each of these people does and how they work together as part of your team. A nephrologist is a doctor who has had special training in kidney diseases. Your nephrologist is the point person for your dialysis team. He or she prescribes a treatment, monitors your health, and makes any needed changes in your treatments based on how they are affecting you. People on dialysis should see their nephrologist often, either at the office or at the dialysis center. Some patients prefer to set up an office visit every month or two so they can talk about their concerns in private. In this way, the doctor sees you on your feet, dressed nicely and looking like a healthy person. Joyce, who is now on hemodialysis, says, "When I was on PD, we had clinic appointments. At that time, we would see the doctor in an office privately. Now that I'm on hemo, the doctor comes around to our chair either every or every other Monday. I know this is good that he comes around while we are at dialysis because of our time, but that has a lot of drawbacks too. For one thing, it's not private at all. Our unit is pretty noisy, so to be heard, you must speak loud. The doctor is standing, and we are sitting. I guess I'm just not comfortable sharing my medical problems with all those around me. I know sometimes I don't even ask the questions that I should." The nephrologist can answer medical questions that you and your support team may have. Some people don't ask their doctors questions. Do you? If not, do any of these reasons apply to you? I don't ask questions because the doctor will think I'm stupid if I ask a dumb question. Or the doctor might be harsh in his or her answer. Or maybe I'm taking up too much of the doctor's valuable time, and the doctor will think I don't trust him or her if I ask questions. Or do you say, "I can never remember my questions once I get in the doctor's office or because I feel unwell on dialysis. Maybe I won't understand the medical terms in the answer anyway." These are just a few of the many reasons people with kidney disease do not get the information they need from their doctors. The more you pursue answers to your questions, the better informed you will be. The better informed you are, the more control you will feel over your kidney disease. It's true that doctors are busy and have limited time to spend with each patient. Still, you have a right to expect that your doctor will spend some time answering your questions and listening to your ideas and concerns about how your treatment is working for you. Choosing a nephrologist. How do you choose a nephrologist? Your choice may be very easy if there is only one kidney specialist in your area, or if a doctor you trust refers you to a nephrologist. Your choices may also depend on your insurance plan's list. What is most important with a chronic disease like kidney failure is that you find a doctor who can explain things to you in a way that you understand. The disease will never go away, so you need to be able to take part in your care and help make medical decisions. To do this, you need a good working relationship with your doctor. Some people are very surprised to learn that all doctors are not the same. Sometimes one doctor's personality can be a better fit for you than another's, even if they both have the same medical knowledge. And some doctors may be more up-to-date on new treatments than others. It's okay to change doctors to find out who can work well with you. Ask your doctor if he or she is board-certified in nephrology. This means that he or she passed a test to become a specialist in kidney disease. The nurse. Your doctor may suggest that you speak with a nurse to learn more about your treatment choices and daily care. Dialysis centers, both for HD and PD, always have nurses on staff to supervise treatments and educate patients. Nurses differ in their training. Some of the nurses you may encounter in your unit include licensed practical nurse, or LPN, who completes a 2-year training program. Registered nurse, or RN, completes a 2- or 4-year college degree and passes a special test. A certified nephrology nurse, or CNN. A registered nurse who also completes training focused on nephrology and passes a special test. Nurse practitioner, or NP, completes special training for providing primary health care and passes a special test. Other credentials that you may see include Bachelor's of Science degree in nursing, or BSN, completes at least 4 years of college coursework focusing on nursing. And Master's of Science degree in nursing, or MSN, completes at least 1 more year of college coursework beyond a BSN. You can find out what type of nurse training the nurses on your team have by asking or looking at their name tags if they're wearing a tag. What initials do you find after their names? Nurses are good sources of information. They can answer many questions about your health. They will be most able to help if you tell them about any health concerns or related problems you might be having. You can call with questions at any time. PD and Home HD programs have someone on call 24 hours a day to help you answer questions and find solutions. If you are on in-center HD, remember that your nurse is busy taking care of a number of patients at one time. You can expect a nurse to answer your questions and provide a listening ear, but the nurse can expect you to wait until there is time to talk. Try not to ask your questions while patients are being put on the machine or taken off, or if there is a medical crisis. Waiting just a few minutes and being respectful of nurses' jobs will go a long way toward helping you get what you need from them. One in-center dialysis nurse's thoughts on patients as partners. Jan, who has been a dialysis nurse since 1976, says, "I think it's very important that the staff and patients are partners. We see these patients 3 times a week. They get to be our friends almost because they're there a long time. Some people are there for years, 3 times a week. And if they're not involved in their own care, you don't have as good communication with them, and you don't have that openness between the patient and the staff. So we try to encourage from the day they start on dialysis that they communicate with us and ask if they have questions. We try to tell them everything they need to know." Dietitian. On dialysis, one of the first team members you might see is the dietitian. The dietitian plays a key role in the treatment of your kidney disease. He or she will explain why you need to control your eating habits and food choices, and will work with you to develop an eating plan that meets your special needs. Renal dietitians, renal is a word that means kidney, are registered with the American Dietetic Association, or ADA. They have a college degree and have special training and work experience in the field of renal nutrition. The renal dietitian's main goal is to help people make wise food choices and learn how to include their favorite foods in their eating plan when they can. To make this plan, the dietitian will ask you about your eating habits and food choices. Then other information is taken into account, like blood test results, medical history, current health concerns, and other factors. All of this is then woven into a meal plan for you and your family to follow. Although the plan may be easy to understand, it's not always easy to follow. The dietitian will try to include as many of your favorite foods in your meal plan as possible. But it's important that you know why your dietitian might suggest certain food and drink limits. Healthy kidneys work 24 hours a day to remove waste products from the blood that build up, mainly from the foods we eat. If you're only getting standard in-center HD treatments 3 times a week, you will need to strictly limit the amount and types of foods you eat and fluids you drink each day. Standard in-center HD requires the most limits on food and fluids of any treatment. The diet and fluids on PD are less limited. Doing HD more often or longer means fewer limits on diet and fluids, too. If you do short daily home HD, 2 to 3 hour treatments, 5 to 7 days a week, you may have very few limits. The most normal diet and fluids are found with nocturnal HD, which are 8-hour-long treatments done at night while you sleep 3 to 6 nights per week. Nocturnal HD gets the blood very clean, so you don't have to do as much of the work yourself with what you eat and drink. Your dietitian can suggest healthy food choices based on the type of treatment you do. By making better food choices, you will have more comfortable dialysis treatments, better long-term health, and be able to have an active and healthier lifestyle. You will feel better and be more able to do the activities you like. Your healthcare team can usually tell if you are following your meal plan by looking at your blood test results. Once the dietitian has looked at your nutritional needs and designed a meal plan, he or she will track your blood tests monthly to see how you're doing. The dietitian will also teach you and your family ways to maintain or improve your food and fluid intake. Your dietitian can offer education and practical tips to improve your health and make mealtimes pleasant for you and your family. Which topics would you like to know more about? Learn how certain foods and fluid levels affect my body. Understand my blood test results. Know how to make good food choices at restaurants. Make the meals I eat similar to those my family eats. Find some cookbooks for dialysis patients. And, of course, you can add some of your own. Because we must eat a few times each day, and so many social events involve food, sticking with your meal plan can be a challenge. Your dietitian knows this and can help you fine-tune your food choices. Ask for recipes and sample meal plans. See if your dietitian can help you adjust your favorite recipes so you can have them at least once in a while. Dietitians can also help with eating out and fitting diet into social activities. If you waver from your meal plan, don't be afraid to tell. Your dietitian doesn't want to be the food police or make you feel guilty. Instead, the aim is to help you get back on track. Ask questions whenever you need to. Many dietitians will welcome a phone call when you have questions between visits. Social worker. When most people think of social workers, they think of government workers who help the poor. Few patients starting dialysis know that the social workers on their team can help them get financial and other help, and also help them cope with kidney disease and treatment. Your social worker will talk with you soon after you start treatment and can help you most if you are open and honest about how you feel. He or she may ask about your background and concerns, including who is in your family and who is at home with you, what other support you can count on, your work and vocational goals, your treatment choice and how it affects your lifestyle and job if you have one, your health insurance, your money concerns, how you plan to get to and from dialysis 3 times each week if you choose standard in-center HD, your household chores, your other health problems and how you have coped with them, what activities you enjoy. Your social worker can help you address problems or concerns and plan for changes that you will likely face. Your social worker wants to help you live a full life, whether you do dialysis at home or in a clinic. Dialysis technician. As the final members of your primary healthcare team, most HD centers have technicians who perform the treatments under a nurse's supervision. Which of these tasks do you think a technician might do? Monitor vital signs like blood pressure. Ensure proper functioning of the dialysis machine. Order needed supplies for dialysis. Clean the dialyzer or filter in the dialysis machine. Educate me about kidney disease. Put in and remove needles until I learn to do this myself. At first glance, it seems that a dialysis technician should be able to do all of these. Most standard in-center HD clinics have 3 types of technicians. Patient care technicians, or PCTs, run the dialysis treatment under the supervision of the nurse. Machine technicians maintain and repair broken machines. Reuse technicians clean dialyzers if your clinic reuses them. Some technicians do more than one of these roles. They are not trained or expected to teach you on general health care questions. Most technicians can explain dialysis and how it works to filter your blood, but questions beyond this are best asked of your doctor or nurse. If you choose standard in-center HD, the technicians are the members of the care team you will see and talk to most often. They can even grow to seem like family. But they are healthcare workers, not your friends. Don't cross the line and offer them gifts, loan them money, or spend time with them outside of the clinic. You can treat each other with respect and enjoy each other's company while you're at the center. A typical HD treatment lasts 3 to 5 hours, 3 times a week. As the technician checks your progress during each treatment, you will have many chances to ask questions and learn more about dialysis. In many HD units, technicians are the team members who put the needles into the patient's accesses. You need to learn where the needle should go in your access at each treatment so you can guide the technician. If one staff member's needle technique hurts you or causes swelling and a bad bruise, consider asking to learn how to put in your own needles. If you have a graft, you'll learn the ladder technique to choose different places and avoid harming your graft. You can learn to place needles in the same spot over and over using the buttonhole technique if you have a fistula. Patients who put in their own needles say they have less fear and pain and feel more in control. They seem to have fewer problems and their accesses last longer. You can learn more about dialysis access in Module 8, Vascular Access, a Lifeline for Dialysis. Now you've learned about all of the primary players in your starting lineup. Every person on dialysis will need to work with them. There are other healthcare professionals that you won't likely see at a dialysis center, but you may need to see at some point. These include a surgeon, a home dialysis supplier, a vocational rehabilitation counselor, a physical therapist, an occupational therapist, or a pharmacist. Let's take a brief look at how each of these professionals might be able to help you. The surgeon. A surgeon will be needed to place a PD catheter, create an HD access, or do a kidney transplant. Your nephrologist will arrange for you to meet with a surgeon if needed. Before you get an access for dialysis, ask your nephrologist to refer you to a surgeon who does an excellent job creating dialysis accesses. You want the surgeon that your doctor would send his own mother to. This surgeon might not be in your town, but if you are able and willing to find the best surgeon, your access may last longer with fewer problems. Home dialysis supplier. When you do home HD or PD, your nephrologist prescribes the machine and supplies you need to do home dialysis. The machine and supplies generally come from the company that makes them. Most patients order supplies once a month by calling customer service. During training, your home training nurse will talk with you about when to call the clinic and when to call the company if you have a problem at home. Vocational rehabilitation counselor. If you are of working age, kidney disease and dialysis can make it a challenge for you to work. A vocational rehabilitation, or VR, counselor can help you find ways to begin or to keep working while on dialysis. VR counselors may be able to help you get retrained for another job if you can't keep doing the job you were doing, or even go to school. Ask your renal social worker about how to get VR counseling. Physical therapist. Did you know that even people in their 80s and 90s can become stronger, more flexible, and better able to prevent falls? A physical therapist, or PT, can help you improve your strength, flexibility, and endurance. Physical therapists can test your abilities and give you exercises to do at home or on dialysis. Physical therapists can also help treat certain types of pain and help the body recover from damage caused by an accident or illness. If you have a problem, injury, or illness that is limiting your activities, your doctor may refer you to a physical therapist. Occupational therapist. Day-to-day skills like opening jars, buttoning clothes, and tying shoes can't be hard if the fine motor skills of the hands and fingers are poor. An occupational therapist works on fine motor skills, like building hand strength or improving daily living skills. Your doctor can refer you to an occupational therapist if you have a problem that limits your ability to take care of yourself at home. Pharmacist. Finally, pharmacists play a familiar role to most of us. They are experts on any drug question you might have. Most are willing to answer any questions you have over the phone. It is important to tell the pharmacist all of the drugs that you are taking, including over-the-counter and herbal medicines, because some drugs may react badly with other drugs. Even some vitamins or food supplements can harm people with kidney disease. Do not assume that every drug you take is in the computer. Sometimes errors are made, and you don't want them made on you. Keep your own up-to-date list of what drugs you take and in what doses. Although most dialysis centers do not employ these additional health professionals, they can refer you to one if the need arises. Do you have a current need to consult with one or more of these team members? The surgeon? The home dialysis supplier? A vocational rehabilitation counselor? A physical therapist? An occupational therapist? Or a pharmacist? At the start of this module, we talked about the goal the team has for you. Your goal is to be as healthy as possible despite kidney disease, to live long and live well. And that is also the goal with each member of your healthcare team should have as they work with you. Think of this shared goal as you and your team trying to work a jigsaw puzzle. Each member puts clusters of pieces together by carefully looking at all of the colors and contours of your condition. Then they hand you those clusters in the form of education and care. The picture becomes visible when you connect those clusters of pieces to other pieces. If you put them where they don't belong, or choose not to fit them in at all, the picture or goal will never be reached. This puzzle example is meant to reinforce how important your role is on the team. You are the one who must apply the knowledge that your team members give you by making good choices about your care and treatment. Keep a notebook about your kidney disease. Some people find it useful to keep a notebook to help them keep track of kidney disease over time. In the notebook, they write down lab tests, drugs they take, questions they have for members of the team, and other information. Bringing the notebook to each visit helps patients to remember questions and lets them focus on other important things. As one patient, Jim, says, I actually carry a notebook. It's always with me. It's either in my car or it's at home. And in that notebook are things that the doctors and nurses have told me to do or suggested that I read. It also gives you a progression on how you're being treated and what are those vital signs. It forces you to say, oh yeah, I am getting better here and oh, I'm getting worse here, and we need to do something about that. For me, that's key. I try as best I can to focus on positives. You can't always do that because as you think about what's wrong with you, you're led to certain conclusions that aren't always positive. And you'll deal with that as best as you can. One of the things that I've done is, back when my son was a teenager, we wrote down things to be grateful for. It's kind of a gratitude book. It's actually part of the notebook that I carry around. And whenever I get down, I'll pick out a page or two and just read about those things that I'm grateful for. It's mostly people, relationships, things that I've done, things that I've accomplished, people that I've affected. That's what I'm grateful for. Your team members can teach, encourage, support, and train you, but they can't make daily decisions for you. It is your life, not theirs. That is why in this module, and in all of the modules of Kidney School, we stress choice and responsibility as keys to living long and living well with kidney disease. Before we wrap up this module, let's talk about three ways you can take responsibility with your healthcare team. Just remember these words. 1. Positive attitude. 2. Get answers. And 3. Take action. Sometimes, how you present yourself to the other members of your team can make a difference in the care you get. Let's imagine for a moment that you are the nurse. Whom would you rather care for and answer questions for? Patient A, who has a positive attitude and is trying to stay as healthy as possible, or patient B, who is rude and demanding, yells at the staff, and isn't making any effort to help him or herself? Yes, every patient deserves to get good care. But when there is limited time, you can bet that patient A will get his or her needs met more completely than patient B. Staying positive and respecting the staff's time will help you to work well with your care team towards your common goal, helping you do better. Here's what one patient had to say about knowing how and when to ask questions. You've got to use your head. At the beginning of the shift, when they're putting lots of people onto the machines and things are buzzing, in my opinion, that's not the time to talk about a headache you had last night. But when things simmer down and you see people kind of getting a little relaxed, my favorite lead is, when you get time, I've got a couple of questions I want to ask you, but no hurry, I'll be here for 4 hours, so you just go ahead and do what you've got to do. And you find out then that they'll take more time with you because you're respecting their workload. That's what Harold said. He's a hemo patient. The second way to take responsibility is to get answers to your questions. You can seek answers to some of your questions by going to the library and looking in books and journals. Some questions can be answered by members of your healthcare team, and some answers can be found on the internet. Now that you know who does what on your team, think about which team members would be most likely to have the answer to your question. Look for a good chance to ask it. Any question, however basic, is a good one. Do you have questions right now that you would like to ask someone on your healthcare team? Which team members do you have questions for? Do you have questions for your family or support people? Or perhaps questions for your primary care doctor or your nephrologist? Your nurse or home training nurse? Do you have questions for your dietitian? Your social worker? Your dialysis technician? Or other members of the healthcare team? Think of a brief sentence or two that will help you to remember your question. It's fine if you don't have any questions for now. At some point you will. When they do occur to you, be sure to write them down. The third way to take responsibility? Take action. Part of taking action is talking about your health, lifestyle habits, emotions, and struggles to your team members. Each one wants to help you, but because they are busy or distracted, they may not ask you as much as you would like. So it becomes your job to make sure your team knows what your needs are. A notebook, if you start one, can be a helpful tool for this. Use the second half of your notebook as a journal. Use it to write down your symptoms, any life changes, new skills you have learned, emotional struggles, successes you have had, etc. Review your notes often and transfer any points you want to mention to team members to the front section, along with questions to ask. Finally, Another part of taking action is to apply what you learn from the wealth of knowledge, training, and resources your team offers you. You and your team need to work together. People who have lived 20, 30, or more years on dialysis share one key thing in common. They are active players on their own healthcare teams. This is the conclusion of Module 3 of Kidney School. We hope you enjoyed it and found it helpful, and will listen to other modules.